Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Always good to have you. Let's get right into it. So as you know, the April JSDA data is a great complement to other data series that we follow, you know, the Ministry of Finance's portfolio investment, as well as the international transaction securities data, tick data, et cetera. But what does the JSDA data that was released last week tell us about foreign and domestic investor activity in the JGB market in the month of April?
In April, according to Japanese Securities Dealers Association data released on May 20th, foreigners had a big presence in the JGB market, unloading a net 2.7 trillion yen in long-term JGBs as they tested the sustainability of the BOJ's fixed-rate JGB buying operations. They accelerated net buying of TDBs to 23 trillion yen, medium-term JGBs to 1.9 trillion yen, and super long JGBs to 1.06 trillion yen. Amongst Japanese investors, Citibank's unloaded a net 293 billion yen of super long JGBs, while regional banks dumped 190 billion yen. Agriculture and forestry-related financial institutions sold a net 223 billion yen long-term JGBs. Foreigners appear to have been trying to challenge the upper 0.25% bound of the BOJ's 10-year JGB yield target. That being said, Japanese investors also appear to have sold into the BOJ's fixed-rate JGB buying operations as they reshuffled their JGB portfolios.
Wow, that is like a targeted attack on the BOJ's on BOJ yield curve control. Just kind of doing the math quickly, all the selling in long-term JGBs was sort of offset by buying elsewhere. So yeah, that is a tactical strike on yield curve control. I mean, you know, foreign investors have been fighting the BOJ on and off for years, if not decades, and have always lost. So I guess this is another example of them losing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's super interesting. What else is interesting in some of these data series that you follow?
Okay. Between May 8th and 14th, Japanese investors turned a net buyer of foreign bonds a net 370 billion yen. And between May 1st and 14th, foreigners have been avoiding 10-year JGB yield lists, but they have been buying short-term yen bonds in net 5.3 trillion yen, huge. We expect Japanese investors to gradually rebuild their foreign asset positions from June. Foreigners are likely to rebuild their JGB holdings, while Japanese will also buy JGBs using their yen funds from selling foreign bonds. Conditions continue to challenge global bond investors, but JGBs could be the ultimate safe spot, and 10-year JGBs will likely continue to be the battleground between investors and the BOJ.
You know, it's interesting that you expect Japanese investors to gradually rebuild their foreign asset positions, you know, starting in June. As everybody knows, Japan sold a huge amount of foreign bonds through April of this year. It's interesting that you note that Japanese investors have started to become net buyers, albeit modestly. But speaking of all that selling, let's backtrack and go to the March U.S. tick data. As I mentioned, everybody knew Japan was a seller of foreign bonds, U.S. bonds in particular. We got some of that information a few weeks ago from the balance payment data, but the size of the selling shown in the tick data was just staggering. Tell our listeners more.
U.S. Department of the Treasury International Capital U.S. tick data for March, released on May 16th, revealed that Japanese investors unloaded a net $32 billion of U.S. treasuries, $494 million of U.S. agency bonds, and $5 billion of U.S. stocks. In contrast, they continued to net buy U.S. corporate bonds by $1.3 billion. Japanese investors substantially cut losses on U.S. treasuries, which had ballooned in fiscal year 21, while also shifting to U.S. corporate bonds. The shift to U.S. credit bonds was a result of yen basis widening. U.S. treasury yields do not allow for higher hedging costs from widening yen basis. Japanese investors appear to be selectively buying U.S. corporate bonds, which offer relative appeal with yen hedging costs as U.S. credit spreads widen. Moreover, with Japanese investors unloading U.S. bonds faster, they have been accumulating more U.S. short-term bonds and shortening durations in order to weather the current inflationary and rate hike phase. According to the Japan's balance of payment data, Japanese investors have been accumulating more non-sovereign bonds of G10 countries aside from the U.S. They bought sovereign medium to long-term bonds of France, 376 billion yen, and Australia, 149 billion yen, and non-sovereign medium to long-term bonds of Australia, 191 billion yen, the UK, 155 billion yen, and Canada, 114 billion yen. U.S. Treasury selling by Japanese investors stood out in March, and a different trading patterns with European investors was clear. They purchased U.S. Treasuries by $57 billion debt nets. Compared to European investors, Japanese investors maintaining easy money conditions, and also secondly, the anti-COVID measures and differences with U.S. and European investors, as well as with risk preference, were bound to arise. Looking forward, quantitative tightening by the Fed could cause a G10 bond valuation losses to grow, but Japanese investors' investing flows will likely differ from U.S. and European investors' flows. This is because of differences in the latent U.S. dollar asset hedging and access to dollar asset funding.
It's interesting you note the differences between, you know, between flows from European investors and Japanese investors, because on the face of it, you wouldn't necessarily expect, you know, any investor to be buying into, you know, into the sell-off and hawkish, you know, Fed policy. But as you point out, you know, Japan is different with easy, you know, money conditions and these anti-COVID, you know, measures. I'm sure there are many other differences. But just that, you know, really interesting to a couple other points I just want to highlight, you know, huge selling of treasuries, staggering, you know, and then you point out how the increasing cost of FX hedging and hedging with basis, you know, has pushed Japanese investors into spread products, particularly corporate bonds. Interesting that they still are selling mortgages. I suspect that has something to do with the fact that the Fed is passively, at least, selling mortgages and potentially going to actively sell them. So that may be keeping Japanese investors on the sidelines in that particular product. But I think we're probably running out of time here. So why don't we wrap things up with your outlook across yen rate, spot dollar yen, and yen basis markets?
Okay. Among the G10 currencies, Swiss franc and yen has been strengthening of late. Plunging U.S. stock prices and rising VIX have triggered rebalancing G10 currencies. Over the near term, falling U.S. stock prices could cause the dollar yen to decline. However, Japan's April trade data shows that Japan has a deep-rooted trade deficit of 839 billion yen. Exports rose by 12.5% year over year, while the imports increased by 28.2% year over year. As such, we assign a bottom for dollar yen of 127 yen level, we now see a bearish bias for Dai Yang rather than neutral, with trading in a 3-year range. The long end of the curve could rise out of the 40-year auction on May 26. The front end of the JGB yield curve could fall because of the abundance of yen funds, as falling bonds were unloaded by Japanese investors this month. We now see a downward bias for yen rates rather than neutral. Yen basis curve has widened, especially in the belly. The Ministry of Finance data shows that the Japanese investors have been net buyers of falling bonds, while the foreigners turned the net seller of Japan stocks. Foreigners have been rebuilding their yen bond holdings, expanding beyond the short term to medium and long durations. Between May 8th to 14th, Japanese investors net bought 370 billion yen of medium to long term falling bonds, while unloading a net 57 billion yen of falling stocks and investment fund holdings, and a net 32 billion yen of short term falling bonds. On the other hand, foreigners net bought 373 billion yen of medium to long-term yen bonds and 201 billion yen of short-term yen bonds, while selling a net 342 billion yen of Japan stocks and investment fund holdings. Over the near term, whether Japanese will continue to invest in falling bonds remain unclear. We expect yen basis to maintain a neutral bias.
Interesting. So you are bearish on dollar yen, which is, you know, interesting how, you know, how strong it's been as of late, although it has weakened. But you're limiting your bottom to 127, and downward bias for JPY rates as the BOJ wins the battle. We discussed that a little bit earlier in the podcast, and neutral on cross currency basis. Okay, great. Excellent stuff as always. Thanks for taking us through it, Sugito-san.
Thanks for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.